Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I would say the deal with Arizona was a deal that we felt was in the best interest of our team. Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M.
How do you spell Duke?
Dale Arnold.
Welcome to WrestleMania. WWE looked at everything we got planned and said, nope, this party's too big for just one night.
Oh, no, no, no.
Rich Keith.
We're here at Fenway South.
Culinary gangster.
In the process of making a birthday dinner.
Well, here's the thing. It's the depth of flavor. It's not just the flavor.
Can you believe this?
Dale and Keith with Wiggy.
Wiggy's got a fire drip today.
That's the booty.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two. Dale and Keith with Wiggy. Sports Radio WEEI. So the Basketball Hall of Fame announced their 2020 Hall of Fame class this past weekend. And obviously, it is not just an NBA Hall of Fame. We all know that. And Barbara Stevens, the women's basketball coach at Bentley, is going into the Hall of Fame. But the NBA component is Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, and Tim Duncan, which, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better class. I'd say 2009. With Michael Jordan, David Robinson, and John Stockton might be the only one I can come up with right off the top of my head.
Oh, good one.
That might be the equivalent of that group going in.
Yeah, that might be. You got three guys from the Dream Team. You know, the guy who's probably the best player of all time in Jordan. Stockton was, when he retired, I think the assist leader and the steals leader. Mm-hmm. And then David Robinson won a bunch of titles.
It's a pretty good class.
But Kobe, Duncan, Garnett.
That's pretty good.
This one's better because all three of those guys were MVP of the league.
Right.
Maybe that's not the only way to view it, but I would say it's better. Kobe won a bunch of titles. Mm-hmm. Duncan won a bunch of titles, and Garnett won one. So they're all champions, which obviously Stockton can't say.
Right.
They're all MVPs.
It's David Robinson. With Duncan.
Titles. Oh, yeah, he did. He won a couple of titles. And was he an MVP? He might have been a one-time MVP. I'm not sure. But, yeah, those three guys,
right.
I mean, that is as good as it gets right there. Like, this generation of players, like, you know, you'd throw Shaq in there. You would, obviously, LeBron, sort of the next guy. Mm-hmm. They sort of handed the torch on to him. But for them to all go in at the same time, that's pretty incredible.
That is a pretty impressive group. And it was the first time, I mean, obviously, Vanessa Bryant spoke at the Kobe Bryant Memorial at the Staples Center, but she did a video thing on ESPN talking about her husband going into the Hall of Fame, but you haven't heard much from her.
Now, you could tell, even on that video, I saw her daughter. I think it was the one that's named Natalia. I think she might be the older one. Mm-hmm. You could even tell, even in the video that she did, she's still really, really...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's very difficult for her to, it seems like, for her to even speak about it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's listen to what she said and how she said it on ESPN.
It's an incredible accomplishment and honor, and we're extremely proud of him. Obviously, we wish that he was here with us to celebrate, but it's definitely the peak of his NBA career, and every accomplishment that he had as an athlete was a stepping stone to be here. So we're incredibly proud of him. And there's some solace in knowing that he was probably going to be a part of the 2020 Hall of Fame class.
Yeah, I mean, this is got to be when do they so, do, when
do
so
they,
tough.
Don't they do, like, the ceremony? Isn't that, like, in the
September?
September, and they do that?
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a two-night thing. Mm-hmm. The first night is in Springfield at the Hall of Fame. And then the next night has been, because I've had the honor of hosting it a couple of a number of times, is at Mohegan Sun, and that's when they get their Hall of Fame rings. And there's a huge group of the, you know, the current group of Hall of Famers and past Hall of Famers all gather, and it's in a big ballroom at Mohegan Sun, and a big, big crowd is there.
I wonder if they'll even do that. Yeah, that's, you know, if that's one of the things that ultimately gets pushed back until, you know, who knows.
Yeah, especially for that type of class, too. They should delay that to make it as big of a ceremony as possible. I mean, you're honoring three of the all-time greats. Because I usually make fun of the Basketball Hall of Fame because they let a lot of guys in that probably shouldn't be in there. And I think more and more Hall of Fames are going in that direction where, for whatever reason, maybe it's the new voters or what it is, but there's like, well, yeah, that guy was good. You're like, well, no, it shouldn't be that guy was good. It should be that guy was one of the all-time greats. And so this class is just what that is. Like that,
right.
The no-brainer Hall of Famers, that's what it should be.
Right.
And those three guys, you're like, all right, as soon as they retire, how many years, boom, you put them in. You don't have to.
You should be able to walk into any bar anywhere in America is this guy a Hall of Famer? And the answer is yes or no. If you have to think.
Yeah, nobody's thinking about any of these three.
Right. No.
But if you have to think about somebody, then you're not a Hall of Famer.
Right. And so
it should just be a yes. It should be a yes right off the bat.
Yeah, this is a great class.
By the way, the date, Wiggy, I just looked it up. In Springfield, it's the enshrinement is supposed to be Saturday, August 29th.
Okay.
And then, as I said,
maybe we'll see.
That's the current and
Way, but I'm saying like maybe that'll go off as scheduled. Right. We'll see.
And to your point, you know, when you talk about, you know, does anybody have any doubts here? Let's see. Kobe Bryant was an 18-time All-Star, 5-time NBA champion. Tim Duncan was a 15-time All-Star, 3-time NBA Finals MVP. Kevin Garnett, a 15-time All-Star, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team. I mean, it's like
It's not
staggering.
Even, it's not.
I mean, these guys are just ridiculous.
Those guys, you know, they're in the group. That those are that when you put when you have a Hall of Fame, that's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It should be guys that there's no question at all.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you have to question whether or not this guy was a Hall of Famer or wasn't one of the greatest during his era.
Yeah, it waters it down for everybody else.
Right.
You know, but then you have a class like this, and you're like, okay, now we're talking. Like
and other, I went back through it. 2009 is the only one I can come up with that's comparable, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was trying to scroll through it as well. So, because not all classes are three. You know, you can have a whole number of classes. So, 1980, you had Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, and Jerry Lucas. So the first two guys you could put on the board with anybody else.
Absolutely.
But the power of this trio, I think, is what separates it.
Yeah.
So, pretty impressive.
It's an impressive group. Yep. I've been reading some things from Garnett. He seems, and he can't be surprised. He knew he was going to go in.
Yeah.
But he seems very emotional about the idea and, you know, very honored. You know, the idea, as he said, that you can say Hall of Famer next to your name just means so much to him.
And also for Garnett and Duncan to go in this way with Kobe Bryant, you know, so much different than what it should have been. It should have been the three of them up there together and all enjoying it. But after the loss of Kobe Bryant, and then so, you know, you think about how the NBA and just really the country kind of remembered Kobe in those days and weeks following his death. Well, that's going to all come back during the Hall of Fame induction, right? So now you're going to have, you know, Duncan and those guys all, I'm sure, telling stories because they competed against each other for years and years and years. In fact, over the weekend, you see ABC was playing some of the old finals games between Kobe and the Celtics. So they had the 08 one, which was great. But then they also had some of the 2010 games in there. But they were just, you know, playing these old NBA games. And I think specifically like Duncan and Garnett and Kobe.
But it's, you know why it's hard to get a class like this is because when do you see like the greats of the greats in their era kind of finishing and retiring all, or walking away from the
all
game
the same
all
year,
at the
basically.
Same time. You don't really – it's so difficult. I mean, you think about Magic and Bird. They came in the league together, but they left the league kind of at different times.
Right, right.
So it's so difficult to have greats walk away from the game at the same time.
I also sort of feel, in a way, that Garnett and Duncan will get overshadowed because of the death of Kobe Bryant. Look, if he was there with them, you know, they'd be three guys.
I still think he would get overshadowed too. Even
More significant.
Yeah. Oh
now.
Yeah, definitely. But when you think about those three as players and what they meant to basketball, they all were, you know, tremendous players. They all meant a lot to the game. But Kobe, in my opinion, stood on another level, on another pedestal when you were talking about.
See, I think Duncan was a better player. But he didn't have the personality.
That's what I mean.
Like, he didn't play for the Lakers, right? He played for the Spurs, and you never heard him talk.
Right, that's
so it's different. But I would say, like, if you're just stacking up on-court resumes, it was Duncan. But if you're talking about deals and jerseys and everything else,
like,
it's Kobe.
When you think about basketball, who might have moved the needle a little bit, Kobe was on another level compared to those two guys. On the court, it's a different thing. But
when you're talking
about basketball, you're talking about all that other stuff and everything else, it's just, you know, Kobe was on another tier. There's not many guys, you know, there's the Jordans. There's
Jordan, Kobe, LeBron.
Yeah, that are on a whole nother tier. Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can get Tom in Connecticut on here one more time. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking me back here.
That sounds great. So much better.
How's that sound, Rich?
Better? Good. Perfect. Good.
Good, good. Hey, I wanted to, while Wiggy was there, I wanted to weigh in on what everybody's thoughts were on the upcoming NFL season, which I really hope, you know, materializes, but I really kind of doubt it. And let me kind of just tell you where my thoughts are coming from. So I live here in Connecticut, and they're predicting that the virus is going to peak end of May. So we'll say Memorial Day weekend, for example. But it's supposed to continue until July 5th. Now, that's not obviously a hard, fast date because, you know, could be more, could be less. But that's already starting to interfere with training camps at that point, correct?
No, training camps more. What are they
July. And the training camps like the end of July.
Okay. So, but they still have to have the team together as far as coaches and staff and other people, right?
Yeah, you could probably start training camp and just, you know, who knows? You could probably start training camp at the beginning of July, 3 months from now.
Okay, so beginning of July, the virus is still around. Okay, so you don't want to be bringing anybody back because you don't know who's got the virus. And there's no way to test for that.
Well, there could be a way to test for it.
No, there isn't.
To test if you have the virus? What do you mean? How come all the NBA players were tested?
Because you might as well have just thrown the test down the toilet, because here's why. A friend of mine
is a retired.
Do you want to listen or no?
Not really.
So a friend of mine is a retired anesthesiologist in Long Island. You can laugh if you want. And
not laughing.
A friend of his is an epidemiologist. You can test right now for the coronavirus, and you can test negative. Tomorrow morning, you can be positive. So you can throw the test out the window. You could only test accurately.
That part is true. You're right that you know, it can change. You can test negative and then test positive, and that part's true.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only go by the best information you have.
Right.
And, you know, and let's just say, for the sake of argument, that, you know, they decide we're going to do the Stanley Cup playoffs in these neutral arenas in Manchester and Fargo, North Dakota, but we're going to test everybody to make sure. You're right. Mm-hmm. Once you've tested them and you've sequestered them in these cities, theoretically, some guy could end up positive later on, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And it looks like, you know, I don't want to say, but it looks like a lot of places, their peaks are in April sometime. So Connecticut, I'm looking at the health data here on the that IHME. It's a really good website.
That's Wiggy's new website this week.
It's
the Worldometer last week, and now I'm guessing it's this week.
Because it kind of tells Wiggy what he wants to hear.
This is what a lot of people say, go look at it. A lot of data on this. You could go to it and check it out yourself. It has Massachusetts peak date as April 16th. It says right here, Connecticut. Mm-hmm.
There is no way they can put a date certain on it. There is zero way they can do that.
But they've been doing that.
Right.
Though.
So then you don't.
Well, no, Mario Cuomo says, you know, we think we're going to hit the peak in 7, 8, 9, 10 days. I mean, they put a range on it. No one can say, okay, they're peaking on April 16th.
But that's what the range is, though. But that's what Massachusetts is. April.
You've got a date.
Yes, and the same way you have with New York. And they were talking about on New York that their peak, the time they're going to hit their peak is sometime during this week. That's what they said about New York. And so, I'm not saying that these dates are accurate to the T, but when you sit here and you look at it, and it says right here on Massachusetts peak day, it says is April 18th.
I'm just saying.
I mean, this is the data that they're giving us. And
right.
And so when you look at it, a lot of the peaks allegedly are sometime in April, right? So if you're talking about April, middle of April to the middle of May, middle of June, and, you know, 2.5 months until, like, you know, maybe the middle of July, could you start training camp 2-3 weeks before?
Mm-hmm.
You would normally start it on July 28th. That's the question. And if you could do that, then you could probably go off with it, you know, everything go according to plan.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's just say that CBS Sports could have a real issue on their hands with some reconfiguration of sports schedules. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
So as you heard Rich say during the award-winning Trending Now moments ago, the British Open has been canceled. They will not play it this year. The PGA Tour has announced their new schedule. A couple of things that are of interest to me. The U.S. Open will now be played September 14th to the 20th. The following weekend is the Ryder Cup.
Ooh,
so back-to-back weekends, you've got the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup. The Masters has now been moved to November 9th to the 15th. So imagine the issues CBS has. On Sunday the 15th, they theoretically will have NFL games, and they've got the final round of the Masters. What do they do?
CBS Plus. Isn't that what NESN does? Mm-hmm. You have like an extra channel?
CBS Sports Network?
I guess you could promote that.
Isn't that where like Tiki and Terranea found?
Throw them, yeah. They probably have other stations, don't they? Because I know like NBC owns like 30 stations.
Yeah. Well, I know CBS from watching college football and knowing that they show some college football games.
They could also probably, because it would just be a couple of Sundays, they could maybe sell those games to Fox or ESPN, maybe something.
Yeah,
like
I wonder if they will actually literally, you know, say, "Hey, look, we'll give you our Sunday the 15th slate."
Yeah.
You know, you give us something later on or something. It's one of those weird things. Nobody could predict this, obviously.
No,
but
the Masters is always
where does
weird.
Jim Nance go?
I was gonna say, yeah, he's gonna pick a lane. The Masters is always weird because the way they handle things there, I feel like most of the coverage is like on their website, and then they give you like an abbreviated. So they might even play like the 1 o'clock game on CBS, and then at 4 switch over to like the last couple hours of the Masters or something. But that'd be nice, right? In the fall, if you just had every sports going on at once, that'd be nice.
I'm concerned about football.
Yep.
College and pro.
I gotcha.
Wiggy, it's okay to expand your horizons.
Yeah, no,
a little,
I'm good.
Though.
I can't watch golf. Golf is like NASCAR to me.
I'll tell you what, though, by June, when there's no basketball or
you'll
hockey
be
yet,
for
I'll miss,
it.
I'll miss
golf.
I'll miss basketball and the hockey playoffs.
I know.
By the way, that's this is one suck. Of those weird side notes. Darren Revelle reported this. So Wimbledon, you know, canceled its 2020 event as opposed to postponing it. The British Open canceled as opposed to postponing like the Masters has done. Do you know why they both canceled instead of postponing?
Worse over there?
They both were smart enough. And who would? I didn't even know this was a thing. Both events bought pandemic insurance. So Wimbledon gets £250 million from their pandemic insurance. If they postponed it, they don't get the insurance money. They cancel it, they get the insurance. It's the same thing now with the British Open.
So it's smarter to cancel it.
So it really wasn't about safety or anything. It was just about money.
It's money.
Yeah, right.
And who would have thought pandemic insurance was even a thing?
You see enough movies, you freak yourself out. It's the same people that have like bunkers full of stuff.
Oh, it's like that movie.
It's available.
It's like the movie I told you on Netflix last week on Dale and Keith, the one that they were talking about the coronavirus being man-made. And they did a whole TV series on that.
So Wimbledon knew.
You didn't quite nail the facts with that one, but you did tell us about it.
It was all around it anyway.
It was close enough.
He circled it.
TV series where the coronavirus was in it 2 years ago. That's all you need to know.
And, you know, Wiggy was talking about how, you know, Italy seems to have, you know, kind of, it's gotten a little better.
Now, yeah, they've turned the corner.
Now, yesterday, over 500 people died, but it was the fewest number of people who have died in, like, you know, 3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, it's better. That's the point I was making, that just because you've hit the apex, you've hit the peak, it's not like, okay, we're good now.
Nobody expects that. But if you look at all those charts that they keep shoving down everybody's throats, when the thing goes up, well, now it comes down. So it's not over with, but it's not getting worse at that point. So, I mean, that's definitely a positive.
Right.
And we'll, I hope, reach that point around here where you can start to think about, okay, well, maybe we can start to do this. Maybe we can put half the stadium at Fenway. Maybe you know, we can put half the people at the Garden.
That's all you want. And I'm
just like people back at work.
Yeah, and I'm on Fox News right now, and I was kind of actually reading about Italy, and I guess they put their lockdown into place March 9th, and you know, like you've said, they are down. So, you know, they're down pretty good as far as the percentage of cases that you're seeing there, and they're supposed to lift their lockdown ban on April 13th. So we'll see. And from hearing, you know, the president and his whole coronavirus team, I guess they're looking at Italy, they're looking at South Korea, they're looking at a lot of these other, you know, places as far as, you know, using that as far as a model on what we're doing here in America.
Of course, the Surgeon General yesterday also said this is going to be the deadliest and saddest week in America. He said this is going to be this generation's Pearl Harbor, 9/11. He was very pessimistic about what this week is going to be like.
Well, and he got a lot of flack for that, too. But I think he's just trying to talk about numbers, too.
Right.
And it makes sense because, again, Pearl Harbor, 9/11 happened in one or, I guess, a couple different locations, right?
Well, yeah.
So this is affecting the entire country. So it's kind of a no-brainer. Like, of course there's going to be more deaths.
And if you're saying, especially in New York, who's been hit the hardest, that their peak is going to be sometime during this week, I mean, just think about
right. People are saying, "Oh, so the worst isn't behind us." You're like, "No,
yeah,
you still got that ahead of you." And then hopefully by next week, things start to change anyway.
And did you guys, at least for them,
did you guys hear the mayor on this morning on the Greg Hill show? Because the mayor has implemented this curfew for the city of Boston. It goes into effect tonight,
right,
from 9 p.m. until 6 a.m. He's imposed a curfew, although it didn't sound like a real rigid curfew the way he was describing.
No, none of this has been. Like even the lockdown wasn't a lockdown. Like we talked about it before. Right. Like none of
it's kind of like toe in the water.
It's been half measures the entire time. So there's and then they keep claiming like they're cracking down more. And it's like, well, not really. Like you're still allowing all of these other things to take place. So you get the feeling that things are going to take longer because a couple of weeks ago they didn't act a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
if they were doing this. You know, and who knows if China really, because there were reports out there that China didn't really tell us, hey,
I don't think we got the full truth.
Might want to be concerned about this thing coming. But if they kind of did what they are doing now, let's say 3 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd probably be in a better spot.
We'd be in
a better spot of it. But you look at it, and I've always said this, you know, just from going out and being out, that 80% of the people are kind of
doing what they're supposed to do.
The biggest lines that you see are at grocery stores, Costco's. I mean, you know, it's just now lines are outside. You know, they're 6 feet apart or as close as they can be to 6 feet apart. It's like a nightclubs to just get into Stop and Shop.
I know. Yeah.
Did you get one of the things that the mayor talked about was that he's now saying that if you go out in the city of Boston, he wants you to wear a face mask of some kind. And I know that we've kind of gone back and forth nationally. Now they're saying the same thing nationally. They think that you should wear a face mask.
Well, except for the president.
Yeah, well, he's not going to wear one because
he
doesn't
said
have
cover
one.
Up. You know, if you don't have a face mask, put a scarf around your face.
Look like a bandit.
I think I know a lot of people. I see a lot of people out there that are doing that. Oh yeah,
I did.
Yeah, when I go to the grocery store, people
for the first time this weekend, I had a face mask on.
But
really?
But then somebody said,
"I got a scream mask. Can I wear that?"
Yeah, you can wear that. As long as
I'll dig that out.
But somebody, I forget who it was. We might have had a caller that made a good point. Said, "All right, you're wearing a face mask. You go into the store, and then you get into the car and you touch your face mask, and you just put it in your car, or you're wearing it down, and it's like,
no, I know." I don't know.
You know, it's. I mean, I guess you're a little bit safer than, you know, maybe for some of the particles. They're not naturally getting into your nose and mouth, but they are getting.
But it's also to prevent other people from getting it, too. Right? Like, so say you have it. You don't even know you have it, right? Uh-huh. That's why you're in public. But you might have it. But if you're covering it up, there's a less chance of, like, your stuff getting out there.
Because they're now
other
saying,
people.
They as this has gone on and they've learned more, it's not just from coughing or sneezing. It literally could be. If you're standing having a conversation with someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, if breathing,
right?
If you are infected with it, you
well, that
could
was
be
the Harvard report
that
had there last week. But they also said Harvard's report said it could travel up to 27 feet. So who the hell knows?
Yeah, well, we didn't know that until the last 24 hours.
Guess what? It's a
by
game
the way,
changer.
That idiot, the governor of Georgia, opened the beaches this last weekend.
Yeah. Get down there, get a tan.
Three days after he finally figured out, you know what, maybe we need to close this stuff down. Then he said, go to the beach. What the hell?
Yeah, he apparently
this
didn't.
This virus is now transmitting before people see signs.
Yeah, but we were no different here in Massachusetts. They shut the beaches but opened the parks.
Yeah, right.
So what's the diff, you know?
I don't know?
It's like, yeah, you know, don't go to the beach, but hey, take a stroll through a trail or a park or something like, but don't you think believe now you all both you guys have been out,
yeah,
doesn't it seem for the most part that a lot of people are kind of adhering to everything that's being said?
Yes.
I don't know, like
I'm with Wiggy. Most people do,
right?
I mean, there
well, I'm just
saying
my experience
there.
I can't speak to what you guys saw, but from my experience it's not great. It's definitely not, you know, people are, you see, and again, maybe they're all family members, maybe, but you see groups of people, the grocery stores, them, the ones that I've been to anyway, the store is doing the best job that they can.
Right.
You know, of separating the lines and stuff, but the people in there, I don't, definitely not. And not,
once
like
you're in this store, the 6 feet rule kind of goes out the window.
Out the window, completely.
I mentioned this to Rich last week, that I think what stores should do, grocery stores should do, is implement one-way aisles. My daughter was grocery shopping over the weekend out in San Francisco in the Bay Area and sent me a picture that I tweeted out. The grocery store she was at did that. You can only go this way in this aisle and then this way in the other aisle. And, you know, and it makes so much sense, assuming that people do what they're supposed to
do. Right. You're relying on a lot of people to do things they're supposed to do, which unfortunately you can't.
And
like, stay at home. That should be simple enough, but people aren't doing
but
that.
But especially in a grocery store where it's like, you know, I'm not, so I got to walk all the way around and get to the bread.
It's like
because,
the most dangerous place right now.
It's like, you know, it's complete chaos.
But I know more of them are also doing our idea that we had a few weeks ago is limiting the number of people in there. And there's sort of that wait. Now, unfortunately, then that wait on the outside turns into people kind of crowding each other because you don't want somebody to cut you and all that stuff, and that so that can be a pain. But limiting the number of people in the store is good because it's also safer for all those people that have to work there.
Well, I think that's kind of what they're doing. Even restaurants are doing it. I drove by, might have been this past weekend, Kowloon. The line was wrapped around the corner.
Oh yeah, for takeout.
Yeah,
and stuff.
For people to go in. So they probably like you know, like you said, they're limiting the amount of people that can go in, and it becomes nightclub lines outside of Costco.
Exactly.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Ian O'Connor from ESPN will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk about the giant piece that he wrote on ESPN.com about the Buccaneers' pursuit of Tom Brady. We'll talk about it with him. We'll talk about it with you as well. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
The reviews are in.
First of all, I'm a Daleaholic. You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
This is Dale and Keefe.
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk to Ian O'Connor from ESPN. He wrote the piece that ran on ESPN.com. Came out today. It's called The Bucks Built It, Tom Brady Came, Now What? Inside the GOAT's Ultimate Gamble. And it really is more about Jason Light and Bruce Arians and putting this whole thing together. But according to what O'Connor writes, and we'll talk to him about it in a few minutes, a big part of Tom Brady's decision was Bruce Arians and the fact that he's the anti-Belichick. A friend of Brady's, quoted in the O'Connor piece anonymously, said Tom was Belichicked out after 20 years.
Doesn't that sound about right?
Yes, that
you know, from everything we've heard.
Especially when you're not getting the money.
Yeah, right. It's a lot easier to be, you know, put up with something if you're getting the contract that you want. Maybe you can deal with it a little bit better. But if you're not even getting that.
I don't really put it on he was Belichicked out. Because if
I do, because and I said to Keith, Wiggy, maybe you disagree. If the Patriots had gone to Tom and said, whatever Tampa Bay offered you, we'll match it. I think he was going anyway.
No, but by that time it was too late. I'm saying in August, right? When we first initially started talking about this past August, right before the season started, Patriots offer him a deal. Brady's probably signing it, right?
He might, but I think that's part of being Belichicked out because Belichick, as you've always said, he gives a player a number.
Right.
And
we talked to Ty Law about it. Right. But the point I'm making where is, let's just say after the season, season's over, they go to Tom and say, here's 2 years, $50 million guaranteed. Tom signs it. So
I don't think he was. I think he knew last August he was gone.
No. I think the contract and then the season and it just the progression of, you know, not getting a deal and not getting a deal and Bill's the
way. I was told by the people who've been telling me a lot of this stuff throughout the course of this thing that he decided last August this was his last year here. That was it.
So then why was there reports out there that this is Tommy Curran reported that if they would have gave him a Drew Brees type of deal, he would have taken that?
I don't believe that's true. I think he decided it's why he put in the thing that they couldn't franchise him to. He wanted to be an unrestricted free agent.
Well, he didn't want to get traded.
No, but don't you think it was wanted to go.
But don't you think it was because of how that negotiation went? Wasn't that the
breaking
point?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
Last August, after it was all was said, he said, you know what? I'm going to play this last year, and then I'm out the door.
But that, you know, so I guess maybe we're both saying the same thing, right? So at the beginning of August, if they said, here's 2 and 50, he signs
might have.
Yeah. I think he's definitely back if they do that.
Right, and I
because he also
I thought
he,
Wiggy said at the end of the season, if they'd gone to him in January and said, here, we'll give you 2 years, 50, I think he was gone.
No, I believe he would have still, I think he would have still in.
Not with the same receivers and
No. All that depending on them saying, like, listen, we're gonna make a hard push for DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
We're going to go
right.
after. All I'm saying is they said to him and say, hey, listen, Tom, we're going out and getting guys for you. At the end of this season.
They couldn't guarantee it, Wiggy, and he knows they couldn't.
But hear me out. What I'm saying is if they say to him at the end of the season, we're going to get these guys for you, we'll give you 2 years, $50 million, and we're going to do everything in our power to get you one of these weapons, I believe he signed.
I don't think he trusts him at this point.
I don't either. I think he was gone.
It doesn't really matter either because the Patriots didn't want him.
No,
that's
exactly.
What's crazy about all this. The Patriots didn't want them to even offer him a contract.
Well, that's why he was Belichicked out.
Yeah.
Is because
like all of this nonsense.
They didn't want him. Listen, you know what? Yeah. I can deal with Bill knowing that as long as they're giving me the money that I want.
So it seems like he's going from Belichick to
anti-Belichick.
Well, really like the offensive Pete Carroll in a way. Like this is the guy who, like Bruce Arians, I love the quote in there, his philosophy, which is actually
kind of your philosophy too, isn't it?
Not really. I think I'm more competitive than Arians.
Yeah.
Arians' philosophy is win or lose, we booze. And I'm like, all right. I guess I can get behind that. Although I feel like, you know, you'll lose, you're going to be upset, wouldn't you? But Bruce Arians is more of a guy that, hey, we could, you know, still play golf during the season and still kind of do all that. And so it is the polar opposite of Belichick. So as much as Mike Evans and Chris Godwin is intriguing to Brady.
Right.
I think just almost equally is how Bruce Arians runs the show down there.
But the way he runs the show, and we talked to Ty about this, right?
Yeah.
Here, that I think becomes maybe an issue. It's all good if you're winning.
Yes.
But if you're not winning, that's an issue because then it's like, really? How competitive are we here?
Yeah.
You know, what's our level of kind of rage that we're losing? Or is it just, you know what, hey, win or lose, we're still boozing now, the team.
I think if you're losing a lot and they're still celebrating, Brady's going to have enough of
that. I mean, think about Brady was, you know, we saw sad Brady after 8-0. Can you imagine what type of Brady we would see in that atmosphere when they're not winning? So the anti-Belichick, him really, I think it's more about when the anti-Belichick is the way he deals with players financially. That, I think, is when you say he's the anti-Bill.
Yeah, he's Belichicked out and all that. Right.
Yeah, it's because of the way Bill does things financially.
That wasn't the only reason, though, Wiggy. I mean, 20 years of the way Belichick is emotionally, philosophically. I mean, it could wear you out.
But it wears you out, but you know at the end of the day, you're always going to be competitive and have a chance to win. And you know that, hey, listen, if I'm getting paid the money that I feel like I'm worth, because think about it, this all started in 2018 when Brady wanted the extension and they basically said, no, we're going to give you $5 million
incentives.
Right? So it's like, wait a second. I don't mind the way you treat me, you know, with all the, you know, I'm calling you out meetings and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah. I'll deal with all that. But now you're not even going to give me market value. And that's where you get Belichicked out.
We'll talk to Ian O'Connor, who wrote the piece. He'll join us in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.